I know I turned this on. That's okay. We're in the life of Christ. Technology is great when it works and turns on. And we're in the years of the great Galilean ministry. We see that that lasts about 18 to 21 months, and we're still in that time period. We know that Christ used Capernaum as his stepping off point when he was there, but we're now to the point where he's going through town to town, city to city, and preaching his word and preaching it in ways that they hadn't understood or seen before. We see that we're in the period of Jesus teaching in many parables. To finish out this period, we'll see the limited commission and then John the Baptist. Last week, we talked about Jesus being in a home, which was very, very crowded, and his mom and his brothers and probably his sisters also came to see them, and there was a person who saw them outside and told Jesus, hey, this is your mom and your brothers and your sisters, and they're outside, and he says, well, who is my mother and who is my brothers and who is my family, but those that do the will of God. And then as he started teaching in parables, we got into the parable of the sower, which was in Mark 4 and 13 and 8. But Jesus then takes his disciples to the side and starts explaining that. And that's where we left off. So we're going to go through that. And then we're going to go through the parable of the seeing and growing in the ground, the tares and the wheat, the parable of the mustard seed. We'll see how far we get, but maybe we'll get to the 11 hidden treasures, pearl of great price, the net, and householders. We may get to that on Wednesday. We'll see how far we get today. So I ask you to turn to Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, and Luke chapter 8, because we'll go and look at all these three at the same time. So Jesus now has his disciples. He had just talked to them about the parable of a sower scattering seed on these four different soils. And he asked them, do you understand this parable? And that's Mark chapter 4, verse 13. And he starts explaining them to them who each element or what each element is. And he says, the sower sows the word. Well, what was the word? The gospel, right, the good news, right? And then he says, anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. Well, what soil was that? The wayside. This, and what did we talk about? What was the wayside? These are the pathways that are tramped down. These are the pathways around their fields because, you know, today we have farms that have fences and borders and stuff, but they didn't have those as far as their normal process. So he had these waysides, and so that was one of the first soils that the seed was spread on, and it says, hey, it was spread on the wayside, and the word was sown, and when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Likewise, the ones that were sown on the stony ground, Matthew chapter 4 again, who hear the word, immediately receive it with all gladness, and kept it in their heart forever. No? No. And what does it say? That they have no what? So what does that mean? They have no foundation, no depth, no knowledge, no real commitment. And so it says they endure for how long? They listen or They endure for a short time only. And afterward, when what? Tribulation and persecution. Is that going to come to us today? Yes. And how do we thwart that? Well, we have foundation. We have strength. And who do we draw strength from too? Each other, right. And Christ, right? Christ's understanding and knowledge, but also each other. When we have some difficulties, don't we reach out sometimes to each other? Yes. And then it says, well, some were sown among the thorns. And what stops them from continually to follow the word? the cares of the world. In Mark's version, it says the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, entering in to choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Do we have these things bothering us today? You know, we call about thorns, right? But what are the thorns? Well, can it be something different for each one of us? Yes, yes. So, again, the cares of this world seem to be greater than the ones that are pulling us in the right direction. And the last ground was what kind of soil? Good soil. How do we know it was good? Yielded fruit. And what did it say? Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100. And in Matthew's version, it says some 100, some 60, some 30. So he has the numbers different. But in Luke's version, and let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Verses 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Well, why are some of these things veiled to them? Why are some of these things hard for them to understand? Well, Paul wrote this to the Corinthians in the Corinthian letter, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. Let's turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Excuse me, verses 3 and 4. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Chuck, do you mind reading that for me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4.
But even if our
So that happens even today, where people may hear the word, they don't get the right interpretation, they don't seem to make that understanding, they don't seem to see what it should invoke. Remember, when Jesus is teaching to all these different places and to all these different people, what is happening? Some very profound things are starting to happen. They either respond to the gospel in a positive way, or they reject it. And those that are rejecting it are pulling those around them to try and also force them to be rejected by Jesus and understand that his influence should be thwarted. We see in Mark's version and in Luke's version, when we talk about who is doing that, we see that it's Satan who comes and takes the word away. In Luke, we see it's the devil that takes it away. And we see that it's the wicked one that takes it away in Matthew's version. So we see all these different interpretations, but those are still what? Pulling the word away from their heart for their understanding, still pulling it away so they don't fully follow Christ's word and let it dwell within them. Because in the next parable, it talks about how we are affected. What are we? Well, let's look at Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. Again, this is the same time period. This is the same time that Jesus is telling these to his disciples. And these disciples are now starting to understand and get a better picture of what the kingdom of heaven is. And he says in Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18. Larry, do you mind reading that for me? Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 18.
Nothing is seen.
made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, to him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have.
Now I'm going to turn back to Mark chapter 4, and I'll read that. Mark chapter 4, 21 through 25. So Mark chapter 4, 21 through 25. Also he said unto them, Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hid which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but it should come to light. If anyone has ears, let him hear. Then he said to them, Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So we're talking about our light. What does that mean? Our influence, right? Our influence of those round about us. We should be brought and set out so people can see that. Jesus was trying to give them examples again of what they understand, that we are the light of the world. We've kind of seen that, right? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And then in Mark's account, though, what does he tell him in verse 24? Take heed of what you hear. So what does that mean? It's not a hidden meaning. What does that mean? I'm supposed to be listening and making sure that those that are teaching me are teaching what? The truth, right? So that means I need to make sure I'm measuring that up. What do I use to measure that up with? The gospel, right? I'm using that as my measuring stick. Jesus is trying to tell him, hey, be wary of what you hear. Now, Paul has a lot to say in his letters and warning those, especially in the letter to the Thessalonians, about making sure you use that. We knew the Bereans measured the gospel or measured people what they said against the gospel, make sure it was important. We see in Acts, you know, when something was teaching only a partial part of that they were corrected. So we need to make sure that when we are listening to teachers, when we are listening to someone who's talking the Bible, that we use the proper measuring stick, that we use the right standard. And when we have that, it should then dwell in us richly. You had a comment, Robert?
I've been told before that I was being too closed-minded when I didn't want to listen to other teachings from other people, saying that I was too closed-minded. I welcome being closed-minded.
We have to make sure that when we are listening, right, as far as closed-mindedness goes, that we're listening to the gospel. And we also have the right interpretations. And I'll say this again, but the best interpretation of the scripture is the scripture. Using that as a basis to understand and have better understanding of the gospel passages. And Jesus even explains his parables. Some of those that were listening and heard part of it didn't hear the explanation part as the disciples and apostles did that he brought with him. But it's manifest for us today so we can see all those full parts. All the full gospel is revealed to us so we can then be that beacon of light. We can have that truth with us and then we can be those shining in front of us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 12 through 13. Ken, do you mind reading that for me? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13.
Hebrews 4, 12, 13.
Yes, sir.
must give account.
So the gospel is a strong tool. We heard that the gospel is what? In Ephesians. The sword, right? The sword, right. So this is powerful. It's living. And Jesus, when he's teaching, does invoke a powerful response. Those who want to accept it and take it in and be transformed and changed, and those who want to reject it and want to reject him and want to thwart his influences on those around him. Well, as we continue, Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29, he gives them another parable, and he has this comparison of the kingdom of God as if a man should scatter or sow seed on the ground. All right, so you're a farmer in those days, right? They didn't have tractors. They didn't have things that cut little lines in, and you put the seed in that hole. They would scatter the seed. And in verse 27 of chapter 4 of Mark, that person who would sow, what would he do at night? Sleep. Okay? What would seed do then if it was on good soil? Start to grow. Now, it says, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first a blade from the head, then that from a full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it in a sickle because the harvest has come. Now, we're not a lot of planters and farmers anymore. So the miraculous power of, you know, taking a seed and putting it in the ground and watching it grow, you know, especially to little kids, that's kind of like an amazing feat. Wow, I put it in the ground, and then after a little while, we see this little stalk come up, and as it grows and germinates. Well, Paul had to say something about this too, right? He talked about how the increase is given, and he gave glory to where that increase is also found. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. You know, he didn't make and take all the credit. He didn't give anybody who was preaching all the credit. Who did he give the credit to? God. So 1 Corinthians 3, let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 3. Verses 6 through 9. Angela, do you mind reading that for me?
I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers.
So this is the same sentiment, right? This sower spreads the seed. He sleeps at night. We see the growth increase. He's not sure where the growth come from. We know the growth comes from God. And what is he talking about there? Spreading the gospel. Because we never know what might be said, what might be done to someone that small thing, that small good deed, that small thing that happens to them may start germinating and eventually have influence. We've seen this many times, you know. My story, to be exact, that I was not a Christian, but I had influences on me that made me follow Christ's path. You know, there's others that started their path because this is where their parents go, and then when they got old enough, they had some influences that started their path to germinate and be a child of God and follow that path. So we never know where our influence, our path can take us to possibly affect others. Yeah, hopefully we're not infecting anybody. You're right. We're affecting growth, right. Yes. Yeah, in 2020, that was bad to say that word, in fact. Yes. Then Jesus gives them the story, and we're now turning to Matthew. And Matthew chapter 13 now has a few of these parables. And we start seeing in Matthew 13 him telling them about the kingdom again. And we're staying on the same thing of a someone who sows, someone, a farmer who's spreading things around. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in his field. We hope we're spreading good seed. But in a different case, also comparative, in this last parable, he said the man slept and didn't know where the growth came. This time he says the man slept and someone came in and snuck in something else, right? What is a tare? Well, a weed, right? It looks very similar to the wheat until it's fully grown and fully developed, a mature plant, but the tares themselves or that type of weed was not good for consuming for people. So I have a wheat field and I don't want to harvest them together. Well, when the grain had sprouted and produced its crop, they started to see both wheat and tares. And so what did the servants do to the owner of this field or the person who owned it and would put out the good seed? What did they ask him? Right. Did you not sow in good seed? Didn't you not have, you know, good seed to sow in there? And we don't think about that anymore, you know, buying good seed, you know, because, again, we're not farmers, but that's important. A good crop is going to start from a good base of seed, yeah. He says, the servant said, so the servants of the owner came and said to them, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? That's verse 27. And how then does it have tares? Well, his only explanation is what? Somebody must have put something in there. Somebody must have put that while we did not know. And the servants, like you said, David, want to then, okay, are we going to now separate them? Are we going to take them up? But we have plants now intertwined, right? Roots are intertwined, plants are intertwined. And he says, no, let it come to full harvest. And then at the harvest time, first you'll gather the tares and bind them and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, Jesus wanted to make sure that they understood this meaning of things. So we're in Matthew 13, verses 36 through 43, and Jesus sent the multitude away. So now he has just his apostles that he's going to explain the meaning of this. And he went into the house in verse 36. And his disciples came to him and said, can you explain to us the parable of the tares of the field? Well, what was the field in verse 38? The field was what? The world, right? Where we live, right? The good seed are the who? The sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the? And who sowed these tares in? The wicked one or the devil or Satan? Yes. And what did he say the harvest time was? The end of the age, right? And his reapers are the? Angels. And when they gathered them, where did they gather those children or followers of the wicked one? They were gathered and they were done what with? Destroyed, burned. So it will be also at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels and they will gather out all of his kingdom, all things that offend, all those who practice iniquity. Anybody else have a different? Lawlessness in the King James? Sin, lawbreakers. What version is that? No, what version do you have? English Standard, okay. And they will be cast into the furnace of fire, and there will be happy times, right? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. And who will shine forth? those that are his children, right? The righteous will shine forth, and as the sun in the kingdom of their Father who enters in, as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And what does Jesus tell them at the very end? He repeats that over and over again. That's the theme, right? And that came from Isaiah 6, right? If you hear, but you don't understand, if you have eyes, but don't perceive, because of their hardened hearts. But let you know that you heard this from me and that you understand, because we now need to make sure that we have full understanding. And what does that mean, full understanding? Comprehension, right. Comprehension, what he's going to tell us, right. Then he begins to tell him another parable. And we have now also three accounts. We have Mark chapter 4, verses 30 and 32, Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, and Luke chapter 13, 18 through 19. Again, he's telling them what the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is going to be. So we saw in the last one, it talks about the kingdom of heaven. It talks about in Mark chapter 4, when he was explaining the parable of the growing seed, it says the kingdom of God. We see these things so people get an understanding. Which one will have effect on them? So if I am explaining something complicated, but some people don't understand it, what did Jesus do? Explain it a little differently so they'd have understanding. Sometimes we get these difficult concepts by one way someone said it versus someone else's way of saying it. Larry may come up and say things one way, and you go, I get it. Or when I say it, you're like, I didn't understand it. So is there different ways of explaining these things so we're understanding? Right, so simple is good. Right? Simple understanding is good, simple explanations. And Jesus is giving them these examples and understanding so that they may have the understanding. Because what is he doing with his apostles? He's training them. He's training them so they can go out without him being there. So they have the full understanding and understanding on how to pass that word around and how much influence that has. So let's look to Mark chapter 4 first. And he says, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? So now he asks their question. You know, what should we liken that to? It is like a mustard seed. When it is sown into the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. When it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches, so the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And in Matthew chapter 13, he kind of says the same thing. He doesn't ask the question, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And a man took it and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. And this is Matthew 13, verses 31 to 32. When it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And in Luke's account, he asked the same question. Jesus asked them and said, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? So now he's given a contrast comparison. It is like a mustard seed. Well, how big is a mustard seed? Well, in comparison, it seems very, very tiny. But different brands of mustard seeds can grow into this large tree, and this is one of the examples of how large this can be. So what does that mean? That a small seed, a small implanted seed in someone's heart can sprout and germinate and grow and be expansive to where the outshining or outpouring can be noticed? Because seeds, once they're in the ground, can we notice anything? No, what do we notice? We see, just like we said before, the growth. We see the growth above ground. We don't see the growth below ground. We see trees. We don't see their root system. We know they're there, and we know they have foundation. Are there certain trees even today that have a really expansive root system and some that have a superficial root system? Yeah, we see that in all these storms that have recently, right? The ones with superficial root systems, what happens to those trees? They get knocked over, right? Whether the ones with the really deep tap roots, right? They seem to stay, and maybe their branches break, but they're still there. And then Jesus also gives them another example of the influence. So we'll talk about this and probably end here. The parable of the leaven. Mark chapter 4, verses 33 and 34. And Matthew chapter 13, verses 33 through 35. And with many parables, this is Mark's account, he spoke to the words of them and they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Let's turn now to Psalm 78, verse 2, that talks about these things. Psalm 78, verse 2. Ronnie, do you mind reading that for me? Psalm 78, verse 2. Yes, sir. Nope. No rush.
I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us.
And so Jesus is telling them that I'm going to use these parables to explain things to you. And I'm going to utter dark sayings or obscure sayings or give them in riddles that they may not have understanding. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, where he says, "And another parable I spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven." Well, maybe not a lot of us men know, but women know what leaven is, right? Especially those who bake bread, right, Angela? Your bread's really good. I appreciate that. And it has leaven in it. Now, when you put a little leaven in something, does it only affect a small portion, or does it permeate the whole loaf? Permeates the whole loaf, right? It's taken, which is interesting. In Matthew, it says, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. You can't hide it in there. I mean, you blend it in, you mix it in, but you can't hide it in there that it doesn't permeate. And it fills all things. So the gospel will do what when we take it in?
Its influence will permeate.
And what will it permeate? And will it permeate hopefully all things of their life? Yes, it should. We should see changes within ourselves. We see changes around about us. We'll have different perspectives. We'll look at things differently. We should act differently. You know, the world, and again, you know, you come back from a background that I have, and it's mostly an occupation of men, and you put a bunch of men together, and their language seems to be a little bit loose when they don't have wives around them to monitor them and what they say. You get mechanics together, and they're speaking, and their language seems to be a little crass and curse. But if it's truly affecting us, you don't see that language with those who are Christians. And in Matthew chapter 13, and we'll just do a couple passages until we're finished, and then I'll take up and finish next week on Wednesday. And then next Sunday, Daryl Goolsbee is going to take over teaching a couple lessons. And all these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And we read that from Psalms. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 16 and read that passage 25 and 26, and then we'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Daryl, do you mind reading Romans chapter 16 for me, verses 25 and 26? And Lance, can you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 for me?
Yeah, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages.
Well, we see Jesus uses these parables, explaining mysteries to those around about him and trying to show them the different examples of what the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is like. Well, I appreciate everybody's kind attention. Thank you for reading passages. Daryl, you have a comment before we close? Perspective is important, and know your audience is important. I appreciate those comments. Thank you.